2 and verse 6. The book of James, the second chapter and verse 6. Himeis. Dei. Etimasate. Ton. Tukon. Uk. Hoi. Plusioi. Kai. Autoi. Hek kusen. Himas. Ace. Criteria. All right. Let's go back here and look at this. Now, how many of you have a Greek analytical lexicon so far? All right, you just got yours tonight. You know how to count, brother. Brother Mike, you just got yours. Brother Mike, he says, I look at this thing in there, and it says TW. And I asked him, I said, what do you mean? What's TW mean? I said, I don't know what TW means. I don't know anything about that. So he showed it to me, and it was tau omega. We yield a subscript and a circumflex over the top of it. Where's my deal here? Show you just a little bit. There are some markings. Acute and grave and circumflex. And then we have the rough reader and we have the smooth reader. These are your markings, okay? And at the end of it, you're going to see this at the end of these sentences here. That is a question mark in Greek, okay? All right. You'll see that at the end. Sometimes there's a period, sometimes there's a semicolon, semicolon is question mark. All right? Now, I'll just give you a little bit. You look at this. Now, I usually circumflexes this elongate something. Now, let's look at our verses here. And again, and look at this verse. Himeis. All right? Look at that word, himeis. See the rough breather there on the front of it? This is a rough breather. Ha, put an H in front of it. If it was a smooth breather like this, it would not do that. All right? And we're going to get into that down here. Himeis, day. Now, himeis, and then you see the circumflex over the epsilon iota. Epsilon iota, by the way, is a diphthong. That's two vowels that make one sound. Okay? In Greek. And then day. See, you have an acute mark. Day. And then we have a. Etimasate. Now, on this eta in the front of that thing that looks like this, like kind of like an N, like that in front of it. Now, do you see that smooth breather on it? Now, if it was a rough breather, it would be he, but this way it's e. All right? Etimasate. Tima. See that ma there? There's your grave mark on it. And then tone, we have an acute mark. Tone. And then patokon. See the grave mark on it. And then uk. What do you have uk on uk there? Now, that could be pronounced two different ways. What do we have there? And it's over the second. It's a smooth breather. So it's not uk instead of hook. It's uk.
Okay.
All right. And then look at the word. And the rougher the smooth breather is on the second vowel in a diphthong. So we have Opsilon, omega, epsilon, and uk, and then we have omicron, that is, iota. It wasn't omicron, it was omega, it was omicron, epsilon, key, and then omicron, iota, and it has a rough breather on. So how do you pronounce that? Hoi. Now you're getting into this just a little bit more. I know I'm boring the rest of you. We want to get back to the word, don't we? We're going down through here. We'll learn a little bit. And then, plus COA. Kata dinast tu usen. All right. Himon. Look at that. Look at the himon there. What do we have in the front of it? We have a vowel, and it's an epsilon in it. So we want himon. See, it's a rough breather. And look at that omega in there. That's epsilon, mu, omega, nu. Now, where is the long sound in it? What is over the top of that? Circumflex. All right? That makes it sound long. Himon. Kai. Autoi. Hek kusen. Himas. Do you see all these sounds now? Look at that. Hel kusen right there. See that? Hel kusen. And then himas. Look at himas. Rough breather there in the front of that. Like an H. And then on the alpha down below there, you have a long sound. Himas. See? And then ace. Ace over the second vowel. Epsilon iota. What do you have up there over the second vowel? That's a what? A smooth breather. All right? It's not haste, but ace. All right? And then we have criteria. Criteria. A lot of these words are going to come right into the English language, okay? So let's go back and look at it now. Himes, ye. And in Oki, it's you all right? But you all, weak adversative conjunction, day. The sentence actually starts with a himes, but really, in your mind in Greek, it's going to start with a day. All right? But ye, second person plural. See this personal pronoun there? And the person in the verb, hetemasate, second person plural, first aorist, indicative, active. But ye, dishonored. See there? The person is ye also. And then tone, accusative, singular. And then, that's a definite article, by the way, brother. And if you look that up in your analytical lexicon right there, you're going to see that's accusative, singular, masculine, okay? The beggar. The destitute one. All right? The destitute one. Tokon. And then we have the word uk again. Adverb of negation. Look that one up on two. Look to, go to page 294 in there, brother. You got yours out, Brother Mike?
No.
Oh, you don't have it with you? You didn't bring your analytical lexicon? Oh, okay.
What am I looking for?
294. Uk. Should be there. She found it, didn't she?
No.
Huh? I think it should be. Let me see it. There it is right there.
No, you have omega upsilon.
And then it goes on and tells you about it, all right?
Okay.
All right. Page 119. Page 119, epsilon, iota, sigma. Ace. Now that girl is sharp. I mean, she's picking it out. That's ace, and it's a preposition, isn't it? All right. Page 444. Hos. Last page. Very last page. Last printed page. There you go.
444. What was it again?
Hos. Hos. And a home. All right. Those, anyway, you look it up, you get to looking those things up, and you remember the pages when you've done it a few hundred times. All right. You can look up everything in there, okay? Now, kind of just share with them a little bit so you can see what they're doing. Now, it tells you everything in that. Now, if you want one of these, Brother Mike, would you volunteer for getting these things if they come up with some money? Now, how much did you get these for?
$15.
Now, that's really cheap. If you buy the one that I redid, it's going to cost you $75 to $100. So $15, guess what? That's a whole lot cheaper. And you can do your own writing in it. All right? You can do all your corrections. All right. There you are. Now, you're going to stay up all night long looking at that, aren't you? I already know that. Looking up all these words. Day, weak adversity conjunction, page 85. It's in there. Page 85. Let's go over there real quick. I think I'm remembering this right. Have I been right so far? Now show them where it is, see? Weak conjunctive particle is what it is.
A conjunctive particle marking the super addition of a clause, whether in opposition or in continuation to what has been.
There you go. There you go. There's where we are.
Mm-hmm. But, on the other hand, also, and, now,
Uh-huh. All right, there we have it. Day. Now you can go look and see if I'm telling you the truth. All right. You could even look on the pages and see if I'm giving you the right pages. Okay. All right. But ye dishonored the poor, not the ones rich. Now this is a question. Now for you to understand in English, it means do not. And this is a question. Look down at the bottom. The last thing, criteria. Look at the end of it. What's the last thing there? What's that? Huh? It's a question mark, but it's a semicolon. And a semicolon in Greek means question mark in English. All right. Have you learned just a little bit more tonight? I know this may be a little bit boring. I could go on like this forever and just throw all these rules of grammar out there to you. But it would bore you. I just throw a little bit now and then. Okay? I'll give you a little bit now and then. All right. Let's get to some preaching here now. Let's see what he says. All right. I never tell you anything grammatically that is not extremely important. Okay? I skip over a lot of things because I don't think you really... It's very important, but what I tell you is extremely important. If I tell you extension or limitation or thought or verbal action, all right, page 119, ace, you better believe it's important. All right, this week adversity conjunction here, day. Now, conjunctive particle is what it is. That one you looked up on page 85. Now, as you take your book and you write down the page numbers on them that I give you as I go off the top of my head sometimes, you can go back and look it up and you can read and study a little bit more. I'll go over it pretty fast sometimes, but if I go over it enough times, you're going to understand it anyway. Brother Ken, when he got back to Kentucky and he was taking what he called first and second year Greek, it was baby Greek. What I teach you in this class is fourth, fifth, and sixth year Greek. Now, we go over the baby Greek and we just pass over it a lot of times. But the things that are important, I will drill into you. When he got back there, he said, Ace, yes. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. They said, what? And day, weak adversative conjunctive particle, you know, and all this kind of... He knew all this stuff. He'd had my classes for about 6 years, so he was prepared. He went back there and he flabbergasted them. Of course, he got up and said that over there at Brother David's house. Here was about a year ago now, almost. Hadn't been here. Yeah, almost a year ago, but he was here. Let's go on. Ook. Now, we have a... ook, we have an adverb of negation, and it also can be a strong adversative conjunctive. All right? Do not hoy the ones. All right? The ones, rich. These are the ones, the plusioi. All right? These rich ones. Now, what does the word plusiois? Comes from pleros and all of this. What does that mean? It means more than enough. It means overflowing. Now, what it means when you see the word plusioi, these are the rich ones, but the idea in Greek draws word pictures so you can understand. Here is a glass or a bowl. Let's say it's a bowl, okay? A bowl of oatmeal. All right? Now, if you're poor, you might have a little bit down here. All right? If you're middle class, you're supposed to have it up here like this. All right? Now, this dude down here, this beggar, he didn't even have it. He didn't even have the cup. Okay, that's how poor he was. Somebody gave it to him, maybe gave him a little oatmeal. But now the rich guy, he's got it heaped all over here and running over on the table. That's what the word plusioi there means, okay? That's the idea. That's the word picture. More than what you need. It's running over out of the bowl onto the floor, and you're throwing it out of there, and you got so much you're giving it to the dog too, because you bought more than you need, more than you can ever use. How much money is too much? How much money is enough? If you were rich, how much money would be enough?
A little more.
More. Okay. Now, if you had so much money you couldn't spend it anyway, what good is it doing you? I want to know.
Rights.
Huh?
Bragging rights.
That's all it is. Just wealth. More than enough. They have said in the world, there is enough wealth in the world for everybody to have something. Everybody can have a home. Everybody can live at least a meager half full bowl all over the world. and never go hungry and be healthy and all this stuff. But because of greed, we don't have that. That's why we don't have that. That's why we have poor people in the world, is because of greed. Now here, the Lord has a lot to talk about the poor. In the Old Testament, He protected the poor. If a woman was a widow or something, they under the law, you know, there was a welfare system of the law, Moses. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. There was a welfare system.
Need a little bit in the field.
For the widows, you don't go out and harvest all the peaches off your peach tree. You leave some of them on there, so somebody can come by and eat some of them, the people that need them. You do not go out there and beat them over the head for picking your peaches either. Or they got figs out there. You do not harvest every fig off that tree. You leave some on there. The first thing, now just think about how God did things now. At first, weather has a lot to do with farming, doesn't it? I didn't hear any amen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right. Weather has got a lot to do with farming, doesn't it, Brother Wally?
We're sweating it out now.
Huh?
We're hoping it don't rain for a couple of days.
That's right. Because why? You got the fruit on the ground, all right? And it'll mess it all up. If it got real bad and rained a whole lot, you'd just about lose all your crop, wouldn't you?
Yep.
All right. Now, Brother Wally, under the law of Moses, he already took the very best of his tomatoes and his peaches and everything, and he took the first fruits and gave them to the Lord. And the first handful, baskets full of almonds off his almond trees. He's already given that to the Lord. Now the rest of his crop is in the field. Now he's trusting that God will not let the locusts come or the hail beat down on him or the winds blow whatever he's got away. First of all, when he brings in the first fruits, he's trusting God that he'll get the rest. Now, he's not going to be greedy either. The law of Moses will not let him harvest every nut off all those trees, because he's supposed to leave some there for the poor to come by and eat them. And he's not going to be out there with a shotgun chasing them off. That's what the law said. Now, our system doesn't work like that today, but if you were lived back in the land of Israel, you had to do that. Okay? If a man didn't do that, then he was a rat. Okay? He was no good. He wasn't a good farmer. Now, these were the law. When Boaz in the book of Ruth, remember when Boaz, her or not Boaz, but Ruth, her husband died, her sister, this other woman's husband died, her father-in-law died, and they were real widows, boy. Well, she chose to go back to the land, to Bethlehem, with her mother. And they went over there, and this guy that they go over there, they camp on their relative's field. By their relative's field. Now they see a great crop out there and everything else, and they know, the mama, she knows that that man is going to leave some out there in the field. And he tells them to leave a lot for this woman.
Handfuls on purpose.
On purpose. But he was supposed to, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to do this.
Well, he did it as a sort of a favor.
He did it as a sort of a favor because he liked the looks of the woman.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, anyway, he was supposed to do it anyway. Even if she'd been ugly, he was supposed to leave it in land and on the ground out there, wasn't he? Leave it out there. That was the system. God took care of the poor always. And I tell you what, when you gave the first fruits and you give the last fruits and you get the middle fruits, that pretty well spreads things out, doesn't it? Hard work and labor, that was man's curse, wasn't it? But also God gives the bounty. This word bounty.
Brother Jim, in addition to that, it shows too that the poor don't have it just handed to them. They have to go out there and get it.
Yeah, but they were. But wait a minute. Now, we got two bunches here. The poor, but we have a beggar too. This beggar can't even go get it. Somebody's got to help this beggar. Somebody's got to go get it for him. This guy don't even have a cup. Doesn't even have a bowl to put his food in. Somebody's got to help him because he's destitute. All right, and he's been destitute for a long time. Somebody has to help him because he's totally disabled. That's what this word here means. All right, now dishonored. The word ekimasate, second person plural, first aorist, indicative, active. It comes from alpha and timao. The word Timothy comes from this word. Timothy, the name Timothy means honorable. All right? And when you put an alpha in front of it, it means you have dishonored. All right? Dishonored. Dishonored the beggar. This is the one that can't even help himself. Now, this guy can't even go out in the field and glean. He's got to have somebody bring it to him because he can't do it. Not the ones wealthy, rich, having to more than what they can use. They overpower you. They oppress you. The word is kata and dinamis is what it comes from. If you look at that, kata and dinasteo or dinamis. They downpower you. They overpower you. Okay? Overpower. Now, we have the powers. We have the sheriff's office. We have the police department. And we have the judicial system. And back in these days, they had all of that in the synagogues, didn't they? All right. Now, James keeps talking about the synagogue here, doesn't he? That's the place of meeting. But the synagogue was more than that, wasn't it? Let's look at the full, the rest of the story as who's the guy that tells you that?
Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. Now, we're already talking about Jews. We're talking about synagogues. Now, in the synagogues, they do what? These are the courtroom. This is also the courtroom and the judge and everything else. Now, he's saying here, don't these rich guys, don't they overpower you and come in there and can pay for a man to get up and speak for them? An eloquent person? And all this, and here you are, poor people, they're overpowering you. And, Kai Altoi, and these ones, Altoi, third person plural, demonstrative pronoun here, they drag by brutal force. That's what the word means. It's helko. Helkusen. Third person plural, present indicative active. Third person plural, present indicative active. And the present indicative active, there's a conjugation to that. Now, listen to me carefully. It's O-A-S-A, Omen, Eddie, Usi, and then Ain. Present indicative active. Every verb is conjugated in Greek. Every tense is conjugated. We have O, and then we have ace, A, Omen, Eti, at the end of them. And then we have the word Usi here. But we have a movable nu on the end of it. That's why I did this. See that word here? That kata dinastu usin? That N there, it's actually usi, but they put an N on it. That's what you call a movable nu on the end of it. For sound. That's why they put it down there. And then ain is the infinitive on the end of it. Okay? Now you learned a little bit something else. I know these things, but I just don't think they're always good for you. But since you've got these grammars, I'm throwing a little bit of it at you, okay? Every verb is conjugated. Every noun is declined. Every noun is declined. There are eight cases in Greek. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Eight cases. And in a sentence, it tells you everything. Vocative. Herald. I just spoke to you in the vocative. Case of address. Hit David. David's in the accusative. You just stumped him. You hit him. All right? That's the sign. It is the direct object, the accusative case is. All right? And dative case. You know the dative case? That is locative, instrumental, and dative in Greek. Okay? You've got three cases because it just takes it and breaks it all down. All right. And they drag you by brutal force, third person plural, present indicative active, helko, himas. That's accusative plural, second person plural pronoun. All right? That's himas. Ace. Ace. This is the extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. I've thrown you too much grammar in there. I'm boring you to death tonight. That's a preposition. And then criteria. Criteria. We got our word critic, the last word.
Okay.
Criteria. Right here. That's the one.
Okay.
Criteria. Now, what word in English would come from that criteria?
Criteria.
Criteria, and what else? Critic.
Critic.
Critic. What do you do when
you criticize
somebody?
Judge.
You judge them. All right, there you go. There it is. Thank you, young lady. There's the other sharp girl right there. These women are always ahead of us, aren't they? Criteria. And it comes right, our English word comes out of it. By the way, this word is only used two times in the New Testament, here and in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Now, you can cross-reference Matthew 13 and verse 57, Luke 1 and verse 52, Acts 10 and verse 38 with this verse, okay? Acts, in the Helkusen. Now, if you want to look up this word also, Acts 16 and verse 19, Acts 21 and verse 30, Luke 12 and verse 38, and Acts 8 and verse 3, you can look other places where they've used that word Helkusen, Helko. All right, now we got past that.
Now, this is all just a big question.
Yeah, it's a big question. Big. Don't they do this to you?
Who is getting accused of being?
These are people.
Mean to the poor people?
These are the leaders in the synagogue. Now, who are the leaders in the synagogue?
Pharisees
and the Sadducees. They're getting blasted upon. Now, this synagogue has turned into a Christian synagogue now.
Now, if you're going to apply this, would that apply to the church leaders today?
Yes. These were the church leaders then.
Book
of James.
You're a church leader.
Well, I'm one of the church leaders. To some extent.
Yeah.
A little leaders. All right?
Are we all guilty?
Yeah, we are. We are guilty of this in many ways in our lives, aren't we?
I'm just sitting here thinking how guilty I am.
Yeah. Well, now I'd ask the question at the end. Don't the bad people do this to you? Do you want to act like the bad people? Now there's time when you got to go to law with people, isn't there? You got to try to figure it out, otherwise, if you can. But when all that's failed, you got to go to law, especially in criminal cases, don't you? Criminal cases. But we find out in Corinthians that they were dragging each other to law over petty little things. And they were messing with each other when they should have been taking care of it.
Well, we're often asked, not only by Christian organizations, but other organizations, won't you give this money because there are some poor people out here we're trying to help. The sheriff's department is trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want you to give.
Yeah.
If you don't give, are you guilty like the Pharisee?
I tell them I give through my church.
Yeah.
I give through my church. That's what, and the church is supposed to take care of a lot of this too, isn't it? I give through my church. That's what I tell them. Now, by the way, we have got a long line of questions here, one right after the other. How did Jesus teach?
Example.
By asking questions. He taught by asking questions. Somebody asks you a question, you ask them a question and let them answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times I've done that to you guys. All right. Well, that's what James is doing. He's imitating his brother in some ways here. All right. He's doing it by inspiration, but he's doing it. All right. 2 and verse 7 now. The second verse tonight took us a half hour to get through one verse. Ook. Altoi. Now, do you understand just a little bit more about Ook and Altoi now? Ook and Altoi start off with what? Diphthongs. And both of them have smooth breathers. Okay? That's what helps you to pronounce it. All right? And blasphemousen. Blasphemousen. All right. And then tone. Cologne. Onoma. Now, what's that have on the front of it, that onoma? That's got a smooth breather and an acute, or I mean a grave. All right? And then we have toe, epiclete, F, and then hemos. All right. Now, let's look at this. Another question. See that question mark at the end? What's that question mark in Greek? It's a semicolon, but it's a question mark. That's how you translate it as a question mark. Now, you know, they did this a whole lot later. I don't know why they just didn't put question marks down there. It would have made a lot more sense because the original Greek was not punctuated. In the original Greek language... Let me show you a little bit of what when these manuscripts were written. It would look like this. Goofing up here, I'm not getting it all capitals.
Is that a quotation?
No, but this is the way it was in original Greek.
Oh, it's all capitals?
Yeah. That's what it would look like in Greek. Now, I goofed here because I put a little bit of spacing there I should not have. Okay, in Greek, since we're talking about punctuation and everything, all Greek originally, none of it was punctuated in Koine Greek, and it was all in what we call uncials. Okay, uncials. In other words, all capitals. All capitals and all run together. Now, when I learned to read Greek, the only Greek Bible I could find was the uncial Bible. And some of you have seen it. Have you seen that one where I marked every and broke down every word? I went through there and I went like this, and I went through that whole New Testament like that, marking it out so I could figure out how to read it. So when I went to the Middle East, I could read all the uncials over there. Nobody else that even knew Greek could even do it because they weren't used to seeing this. All right? Well, I thought I'd give you a little bit of that since we're talking about punctuation and stuff. Uk altoi. Do not they blaspheme. Blasphemousen. Now look at this again. It's oase omineti usiane. So this is third person plural, present, indicative, and it's active. All right? See the word usen on the end? What is that nu on the end of there? That and, that be looking thing. What is that? That's called a what? A movable nu. And why is it put there? Just for sound. That's all. Blasphemousen. All right. They blaspheme. Now, what does blaspheme mean? All right. It comes from blox, or blopto. That's where the root is. You trace it back in your lexicons now. Blox or blopto. And it means to insult. It means to rail at somebody. It means to, at times, interrogate in some of the ancient Greek writings. It means to spit in your face. It means to denounce you and to condemn you all at the same time. And it does this, and it does this. Now, a criminal ought to be condemned, shouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Sure.
All right. They're having a fit right now. How are they going to put all these felons, well, worse than felons, all these people that are guilty of capital offenses to death without hurting them? Or hurting their feelings. They're having a real problem with this. It's a lot better than chopping her head off with a guillotine. It's a capital offense. I mean, they're just as dead one way or the other. But they've already been condemned, haven't they?
Guillotine doesn't hurt very long.
No. Well, we don't really know because nobody's ever told us how it feels, but... nobody ever come back after that and told us how it feels. You know, I mean, nobody says, well, that hurt. But they've already been condemned. Now, when you condemn a condemned man, that's just, isn't it? But how about if you condemn an innocent man? If you condemn an innocent man, that's blasphemy. All right? Now, in the Bible, I think every court of law at one time, now Brother Harry, you pay attention to this now, this is real important in your line of work. In early America and all over the world, if you were going to be a lawyer, you had to get a Ph.D., first of all, you had to get a Bible degree you had to get a doctorate of Bible, a Ph.D. You had to get a doctorate in theology before you could ever become a lawyer. Oh, I tell you what, these lawyers they have today, they don't even know the Lord.
When was that?
In early America, brother, and even in Europe. All right. Do you know who two real famous lawyers in history were? Martin Luther and John Calvin and Augustine. These are really famous lawyers now, okay? Did you know that?
Well,
that they had law degrees. They were lawyers, okay? But they also were theologians. They could have taken a little more, a few more lessons in the theology, I think. I sure got things mixed up. All right, to blaspheme, that means to rail against, that means to call you things that you are not. All right? Somebody gets mad at you and they just start calling you names. That's what we call blasphemy. Blasphemia.
Now, the Pharisees called Jesus a blasphemer.
A blasphemer when he said that he was God. Now, just look at it. If he wasn't God and he said he was God, would he be a blasphemer?
Oh, absolutely.
Sure you would. If anybody jumped up and said they were God and say, I am God, you worship me, now that's blasphemy to God. You're saying this to somebody else, but it's blaspheming God because there's only one God. When you try to take the place of God, then you are blaspheming God. Don't they, now this word ook and then they, remember you have to put a don't out there in front of it for to understand it in English, okay? Don't they blaspheme the kolon, the good or the beautiful name, the one having been called upon you. Now, what were these people? What were they?
Religious leaders?
They were Christians. Christians.
Well, religious leaders.
Yeah, but I mean, this church was a Christian church, even though it was meeting in the synagogue. Yeah, were Jewish Christians. All right. Now, what were a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees doing to these Jewish Christians? They were persecuting them, and they were blaspheming God by saying, when you said, now, if Jesus had not been God, he said, I am God, he would have been a blasphemer. And he was guilty of that. Because Jesus said he was God. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they take the Bible, and they say Jesus never said he was God. Well, he did. Those Jews knew exactly what he's saying. Now, you take a Muslim today. Now, a Muslim, they accept the Old and the New Testament. Do you know that? Where it needs to be corrected. All right? They don't accept all of it. They accept it as the book. The people of the book is what they used to say a long time ago. The people of the book. They were religious. Now, the Muslims, a long time ago, they accepted Baptists. Did you know that? They were called by different names, Paulicians and different Donatists during that period of time. They accepted them because, you know what, they didn't hurt anybody. But now the Catholic Church that had become the Catholic Church was persecuting people. All right? And these Baptists...
Dark Ages.
Yeah, in the Dark Ages, what was becoming the Dark Ages. Catholicism caused the Dark Ages. It brought our Dark Ages on. Now, you have to remember this. Now, I'm not trying to build the Muslims up. But while the Catholic Church was bringing in the Dark Ages and causing the Dark Ages, the Muslims at that period of time were in a time of enlightenment. The mathematics and the algebra and everything that you have today is all Arabic. Did you know that? Arabic letters. Your letters. If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and zeros, that's all Arabic. That's where it came from. They were in a time of enlightenment. The greatest doctors in the world were right there, if you don't count the American Indian over here, because they were the greatest doctors at that period of time. But they had learned to do surgery and everything, and they were building things up.
Well, they had some fine engineers looking
at the Moorish buildings. Yes, engineers. How many of you ever seen the Spanish-style roofs? The Spanish-style roofs. You know, the beautiful terracotta and all that kind of stuff. That's not Spanish. That is, these are the Moors and these are the Muslims, okay, of that day. That's where it came from. All right. Blasphemy. So we're going to throw you a little bit of history in there. It comes from Bloctol and Fema. Blocks, Bloctol, and Fema. Fema mean words. All right. The good name, the one having called upon ye, the name that's called upon ye or put upon ye. All right. The word having called there is first aorist, participle, passive, accusative, singular, and it's neuter. The name is neuter. All right. The name of Christ is neuter. The name is, not Christ. Okay? All right, when it talked about him being a child, he was a child. It was in the neuter sense because children were not considered masculine or feminine in Greek until they could come up of age. All right? And neuter words, you have masculine, feminine, and neuter in Greek. Okay? And it's very important. But the name is neuter. That is the neuter name. But the one... Christ is masculine. People say today that they don't know whether God was a female or a male. I do. Because he's Theos. That's masculine. He's Elohim. All right? That is the powerful one. All right. 2 and verse 7. He is finished. 2 and verse 8. The royal law, the kingly law. This is as far as we can get tonight. A. Mentoi. Nomon. Telete. Basilakon. Kata. Tain. Graphain. Agapeses. Tone. Placion. Su, hos, siaton, kalos, poiete. All right. A. That's the first class conditional. All right. First class conditional. You can look that one up on page 119 also. All right. Real close to that. A. Now, how should we translate that A if it's a first-class conditional? First-class conditional, it's got the idea of if in there, but it really doesn't.
You said if here.
Yeah, I know. Idea of if. A better translation of that is since. Remember? Now, a first-class conditional, the conditions, there's four conditions in Greek. All right? First, second, third, and fourth-class conditionals. The first class conditional Greek is a condition determined as fulfilled. In other words, it's a fact. In English, we don't have that kind of if. We could translate it if there, but we have to explain it. It is since. Since this is the fact. Since indeed. All right? Mentoi. Since indeed or since really. Okay? Or since as a matter of fact. You have to explain it because... the grammar is there. And then nomon. Now, nomon and basilikon, they are separated by a word, but those two things, that nomon and basilikon, that one describes the other, okay? Since indeed the law, ye complete or fill up, second person, plural, present, indicative, active. He's using a lot of present tense here. All right? Oase, omen, eti. Usi ain, remember that? Second person plural. Present indicative active, that comes from telio. Telio means to bring to an end. Now, as a child of God, we are to strive for what? The end result. The end result is not being a bum. A derelict. We're supposed to be examples of our community, aren't we? Aren't we? All right. Now, when the Lord looks at us, He sees what we should become, like Jesus. All right?
Well, what's the royal law then?
The royal law. Let's look at this royal law, this kingly law. Since indeed, the law, if you fill it up, a royal law, Basilea. It comes from the basilica. That's a palace. Okay? We get a word basilica from that. The palace. According to the scripture. Now, what is a royal law according to scripture? Writing. What scripture was this?
Example,
all right. This is Leviticus 19 and verse 18. And then look up Luke 10 and verse 28. Look up Luke 19 and verse 18. Leviticus 19 and 18. Luke 10, 28. Thank you.
I've got 10, 28.
All right. Read that one for me, brother.
And he said unto him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.
All right. What did he say, though? Right up above that. Go back to verse 20.
The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And your mind and your neighbor
is
yourself.
All right. There we have it. That's the royal law. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. It didn't start in the New Testament. All right. Leviticus 19. Who's got Leviticus? Have you got that, David?
No.
You don't have that? No. Who do you have it, Brother Mike?
19:18.
Uh-huh.
You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
All right. All right. It says here that... The scripture says, you shall love the neighbor of you as yourself.
Yeah?
Yes.
I notice right on the end of that verse here it says, I am the Lord. Is that putting the royal stamp of approval on it?
On this verse?
No, on that Leviticus.
Oh, yeah. He just said, I am the Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the Lord said this. All right. You shall love sacrificially the neighbor of you as yourself. Good if you do this.
Okay, I'm a little confused now. You said the royal law is love the Lord, God, and now you're saying the neighbor?
Well, what does the scripture say?
Well,
you love the Lord, you love your neighbor. And how read that back there in Luke, brother. Back there in Luke, and the 10th chapter. You have to go read the whole story. You know, back in Leviticus and this also, love the Lord thy God with all thy might, thy my soul, and everything
Luke
else, and your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27, 26, 27, 28.
Okay, I'll start with 26. And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
All right. That's the royal law right there. That's the royal law. Now, the word...
Two sections,
but yeah.
Somewhere he says, this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah. This is it. This is what... Everything in the Old Testament said this. Now, look at the word nomon and basilikon. Now, James borrowed that. This is a Latin term. It's brought over into Greek here, but it's a Latin term. The Latin term is lex regia, all right? And the Greeks, or not the Greeks, but the Romans used this when a king spoke something, when they had kings, when a king spoke something, it was called a kingly law. This was a kingly edict, in other words, and it was supposed to be true, and it's supposed to be just and right. And so he borrowed that term from them. Now, you could put it in Latin as lex regia, all right? The royal law. Now, James 1 and 2, 1, 4, 1, 5, 1, 22, 4, 11 and 12, and 5, 1 through 3, and Matthew 5, 10, 5, 48, 7, 7 through 12, 7, 21 through 27, 7, 1 through 5, and 6, 19 through 21. These all correspond. These are Beatitudes. The book of James is called what?
Gospel Beatitudes.
Well, it's also called the Book of Beatitudes. All right. And also the what? What else? The Book of Proverbs. All right. Proverbs and Beatitudes. That's where we have it. Thank you, young lady. All right. There we have it. Matthew 4:17. Also in Matthew 22 and 40. And Matthew 7 and verse 12. That's what it's talking about in here. The law of love. The law of love. And then look at that word host in there. Look at that word down there, Brother David. See that one? That's the one I told you to look in the page 444 on. See it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, love your neighbor as. Go over there on page 444 and read me what it says there about that word. As, the same as. Pulse.
If you don't love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Just like you love yourself.
What if you don't?
What if you don't love yourself? Well, you're supposed to love yourself.
And you got problems.
Yeah, you're supposed to love these as you love yourself. Okay,
now,
Brother Dave.
The other time, I have to recognize myself as a sinner.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. So then I can't love myself.
Logically, is what you're supposed to do. Logically love them.
It says it's an adverb in conjunction. That's all it says.
Does that say anything else? As?
Post.
Same as?
Omega Sigma. Adverse in conjunction.
As, the same as. Write that down there. Maybe they forgot to put it in there. As, the same as. In the same way. Similar to. All right? That's all right there. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. And like I said, don't go out in the smoke and the smog we have here and run tomorrow. So stay in the house as much as you possibly can with air filters.
Well,
I tell you what, if you lived over where I did, you'd have to anyway. You couldn't stand to breathe the stuff.
I had ashes on my truck.
Oh, yeah, there's ashes all over the place, ashes all over all the vehicles and everything. Of course, you live out closer to me. Yeah. Well, I hope you learned something from God's Word tonight. We will come back and we'll look right here next week. You know what? I put the wrong pencil in my book. We're going to start on 2 and verse 9. What is the date? What's the date?
Wednesday.
The 27th?
I think.
All right. I did this one so long ago that I didn't even write the date down. You notice in the book of Ephesians and Colossians and all that had dates on it, but this one doesn't. This was too long ago. I hadn't even started doing that yet. Well, let's be dismissed and you go out and do something eternal this week and put all this stuff into practice.